Well, good morning, Metropolitan. If you would stand, grab a hymn book, and let's turn to page 277. 277. Jesus loves even me. I am no bad. Now what? Let's start that over again. I was focusing out here, and then I focused on the words, and I couldn't see it. There we go. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Let's sing the last. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in His beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. On the chorus. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
Amen.
Amen. Indeed. Aren't you thankful? The Lord loves us. Theme of the message this morning, God's great love for us. We'll look at that in a little bit. Sure good to see you. And I know our church family is under attack. The crud has attacked. I'm talking to a lot of folks that have been down, either getting sick, been sick, or trying to get better. And I'm not sure which side of that I'm on, but I'm hopefully on the getting better side. But it's good to see you all. Good to be here. Worship our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am thankful that He loves even me. And how do we do it sterilely without passing our germs on? Hi there, everybody. But let's try to greet each other this morning for a few minutes.
If you would return back to your seats, let's turn also to page 421. 421. All right, anybody that has sinus problems is going to sing this song well today. Because you can just sing the bass part. G-O-N-E, gone. That's your job. Bases, G-O-N-E, gone. All right? Here we go.
You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I say, my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone.
All right, we're going to try that. Where are all the basses? Anybody a bass here? Raise your hand, basses. I don't care if you're in the choir or not. Raise your hand. We're going to sing. Can you play the G-O-N-E gone part? The very end, my sins are gone.
My sins are G-O-N-E gone.
That's what we're going to do, okay? I'll help you out on that part, all right? Let's sing the last.
I'm living now for Jesus. I'm happy night and day because my sins are gone. My soul is filled with music. With all my heart I say, I know my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are G-O-N-E gone.
All right, good deal. You may be seated.
please stand. Let's turn in our hymn books to page 1. Page 1.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Let's sing the second.
For me it was in the garden, he prayed not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
On the last,
when with the ransomed in glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Good singing. You may be seated.
Gentlemen, if you'll take your places, we'll go over a few announcements while we receive this morning's offering. Immediately after the morning service this morning, Brother Jacob McMullen would like to have a greeters meeting. If you are a greeter, or if you're interested in being a greeter, is that correct, Brother Jacob? Yes, right down front. Have a meeting right down front immediately after the service this morning. And while we're speaking to Brother Jacob in meetings, you also want to have a meeting with all the parents, Sunday school workers, or children's church workers and nursery workers tonight. Okay, if you're a parent of a child, a Sunday school worker or children's church worker and nursery worker, have a meeting tonight after. This has to do with some policies we're going to get ready to put in place this here in the near future. So that'll be tonight after church. Trustee meeting today at 5:00. Ladies brunch tomorrow at 10 to Cracker Barrel. Let's see, on Sunday, 15th, the youth is going to have a snack night. We'll talk more about that later, guys. 21st, Beck and TK is going to have a wedding shower. Oh my, it's getting close. yeah. Thursday the 26th, Metro Saints. You say, what's the Metro Saints? Well, if you are close to the age of the golden years, the fun time, when you have more time on your hands than you used to and everything like that, and when you'd like to join us on the what day was that? The 26th. That's going to be a Thursday, I do believe, from 11 to 2. Come up here and just see what's going to be about. We'll try to get something kicked off. See Miss Sandra or myself or the pastor about that. And we'll be a potluck lunch. And who knows what kind of fun we can get into on that right there also. Fifth Sunday for this month, the church is going to provide the chicken. And everybody else will bring two sides and desserts. We're going to have Evangelist Ted Alexander here all day long for us. On the back foyer back there, we still have time if you'd like to take a class for TTU. The sign-up's back there. Still time to sign up. And also, I forgot to mention it last week, but the reading through your Bible, the sheets to keep off with it, We had those back there at the back also. He said, "Well, I haven't started yet." Well, the year's young. You can play catch up. So grab one of those. And also, if there, maybe you just want to say, "Hey, what can I do? Where can I serve?" Come see preacher or myself. We'll find some place. So willing heart, we can find you someplace. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for us today. Thank you for everything you've given us today, Lord. Thank you for, Lord, just here we are shortly after your, so where we celebrated your son's birth. And here it is. We marked a new calendar year for us, a new starting point for us, Lord. And possibly where some folks are going to say, from here on out this year, I'm going to try to do something different, better, or not do something, or whatever it might be. Lord, there's a time of a starting over possibly for us. Thank you just for that. Lord, right now we're asking you to be at the offering we're about to receive, be at the gift and the giver. Lord, please, Lord, be at the preacher when he comes in just a moment. And Lord, declares your word, gives it to us, Lord. And Lord, please prepare our hearts to receive it. I ask these things in your name. Amen.
Y'all are witnesses. We didn't touch anything when that happened.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bow down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure. The saints and angels' song. Could we with the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every star on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song.
Amen. Enjoyed the music this morning, as always. Enjoy being in God's house. It's good to be where He is worshiped and He's honored. Be turning, if you would, this morning to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I know they were scrambling around earlier. The internet was down, and of course certainly forestalls our being able to stream the services and do some of the other things we do. And so I'm thankful for those who got that going. Music today certainly went along with the message. I don't know, is that was planned or the Holy Spirit just planned it all, but I'm sure thankful. Come together. If you found your place there in Romans chapter 8, please stand with me. Reverence to God's Word. Begin reading this morning in verse 35. It says, "Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Father, we bow before You. We're thankful for the great, tremendous promise in this passage. Thankful, Father, that we can have that peace of heart and mind that produces a confidence. Confidence in You, confidence in our relationship with You. Father, today I simply ask You that You might open these words to us. Help us, Father, to understand what You would want to say to us. Please, Lord, it's not important what the preacher thinks. It's not important what he might want to say. But Lord, that You would put Your words in the mouth of Your preacher. That we would hear from our God. We'd hear exactly what You want us to hear. Please, Lord, bless. Help, I pray, throughout this assembly this morning. There may indeed be those in our midst that are even yet, without Christ. Father, I plead with You in Jesus' name that Your Son would be exalted. He'd be lifted up. That You'd be pleased, oh my, out of Your great love, to draw savingly, gloriously to Yourself. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. And amen. Of course, may be seated. Shared last week, I so enjoyed this theme that the Lord's given us for the year. In Christ. In Christ we can. Well, we introduced that subject and the theme of that from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Well, immediately, we take up a bit of a different approach to that phrase. Today we're not going to look at something we can do in Christ, but something that can never happen to us in Christ, to those that are in Christ. In Christ, we can never be separated from the love of God. We can never be separated from the love of God. Or maybe you've had a week something like I've had. This cold and crud has been chasing and getting the best of Marcia and I. And as I said earlier, I think we may be on the other side of it. But I know many of us and many still are battling that, even out this morning because of it. But a word of encouragement's a good thing. A word of encouragement's a good thing. And I don't know of anything that's more uplifting that a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ can never, will never be separated from the love of God. We'll never be separated from the love of God. What a question Paul poses here in verse 35. Verse 35, the great question over that love, the love of Christ, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now the question in itself is almost like a rhetorical question. It's one of those questions that demands an answer in the negative. But we want to look at it a little bit. Can we? Can we be separated from the love of God is Paul's question. Now I would never dream of rewriting anything in the King James Bible. It is simply, clearly, the best English translation on this earth planet. But that word who in our verse can also, and as we read the rest of the verse, understand that it can also mean what? Who or what can separate us from the love of God or the love of Christ? Well, Paul expands on that profound question with a question that includes some what's. Some what's, if you will, that cannot separate us from the love of God. Now this question, the question that Paul poses does not relate to our love for Christ, but His love for us. His love for us. Again, let me read that verse once again, if you will. Who shall separate us, or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? Persecution or famine? Nakedness or peril or sword? These are some very, if we can borrow from the verse itself, distressing things. Some distressing things. Shall tribulation or the anguish or the pressures that come on us in life, shall distress or those calamities that enter in. We can't avoid those calamities, if you will, that face us as we walk on this earth planet. They do come our way. He speaks of persecutions, of famine, of nakedness or peril, and all those that have to do with some of the issues that we may lack physically. So we see here both the emotional battles and struggles that we may face, but also circumstances that could come upon us in life. The question is a rhetorical question, though, because none of those things are able to separate us from His great love. Serious trials indeed, are they not? These are serious things. All these serious trials could result in a break in relationships, but not in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We also see here our great victory in the love of Christ. And in verse 36, immediately Paul says, as it is written, and he's quoting from the Old Testament, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Wow. Wow. Just that verse just doesn't seem to fit in to the rest of what he's saying here in the end of this chapter. But beloved, as we dig a little deeper, we can understand that what Paul quotes here comes from Psalm 44 in verse 22, where as I read those words, you'll see that they are quoted almost word for word. There, the psalmist writes, "Yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter." Well, what's Paul talking about here? Well, he's likening the situation of God's New Testament saints with much of what his Old Testament saints dealt with. It's not sure. It's debated back and forth just what the psalmist or the period of time that the psalmist is relating to here as he penned those words. But beloved, we understand as we read our Old Testament, there were periods of time that the Jewish people suffered greatly under persecutions and trials and tribulations. And just when the psalmist is pointing to, we don't really need to know. The fact is, the lost of all ages, the lost, mind you, of all ages, whether it was in Old Testament days, the first century, or even today, have little tolerance. You listen? This lost world has little tolerance for people who are committed to their God. Committed to the God of the Bible. Let me say that to many other belief systems, including the secularists. What do we mean by secularists? Well, just worldlings. People that think worldly, not necessarily hooked into any belief system concerning some religion or otherwise. But to many, of all belief systems, you're no more worthy. Now listen, you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ are no more worthy than sheep for the slaughter. They just don't think much of you. You say, "Thanks, preacher, I appreciate that." Well, it's reality. It's reality. Listen to this. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking in John chapter 16 and verse 2. Listen to this. He says, "They," who's he talking about? Lost folks. "They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service." Now specifically, the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about the religious crowd of the day. As we understand that that crowd would even put him to death. And he's telling those that would be followers of him that along the way, there will be those that will put you to death and thinking they're doing God's service. Isn't that interesting? Wow, we live in a world. We live in a world where the powers that be, the celebrities and the movers and shakers of our society, have a totally opposite worldview than you do if you believe the Bible. If you have a biblical worldview, this world generally in which we live has a much different idea of things than you do. They sincerely believe that you, who would deny women the right to murder their babies, and you that would dare say that two men or two women, and well, do I need to go on? That are in a perverted relationship, that you're the troublemaker. That you're the troublemaker. Indeed. That you are actually the one who is immoral for even thinking such a thing or daring to declare such a thing. And their desire is to shut you up. That to shut you up and to minimalize you as best they can. Been going on steady, beloved, for the last few generations, even in our country. These ones strip the Bible of its holy and righteous foundations. And they relegate to the Word of God to mere moral platitudes, if you will. Listen to a politician quote the Bible. What are they usually talking about? How we need to feed the hungry and take care of the poor. And there's nothing wrong with those things.
But that's what they relegate the message of the Bible to. They don't want to hear that they're sinners. They don't want to hear that they need a Savior. They don't want to hear that they're in danger of God's judgment. They don't want to hear that. They do all they can to fit their distorted views into the Word of God. And they're convinced that they... Now listen, they're convinced that they're doing God's service when they silence you. Is that not right? That's even in our country. But, my, Christians are being slaughtered by the thousands on this earth planet. We don't like to think about that, do we? It's a fact. Christians are being slaughtered by the thousands over the last decade and relegated, oh my, listen, by people and groups that are convinced they're doing right. Is that not the truth? By the numbers I've been able to gather, there have been approximately 1 million Christians that have either fled or been murdered in Iraq and Syria over the last 10 or 12 years. Just those two countries. That's just two countries. Let alone many countries in Africa and other places. 1 million. Over 10 years. By the thousands. Many Christians deal daily with the reality of adversity, as we read here. And as the Lord Jesus Christ warned us of. But enough of that, because we also see our great victory in spite of adversity. Our tremendous victory in Christ in spite of the adversity. We read what Paul's words are to believers, to you and I, as Christians, then and now. What does he say in verse 37? Nay. Yes, it may be true that this adversity is there. It is indeed a reality. But, nevertheless, nay, in all these things, in all this adversity, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Through Him that loved us. Yes. Yes, the idea can fade here, is that you and I, as recipients of the love of Christ, aren't just conquerors, we're more than conquerors. It's always nice to come out on the winning side. Doesn't matter if you're playing Monopoly, if you're playing some other sport, or in the quote-unquote game of life. You and I are more than confident, than conquerors. The great confidence that we have in Christ. Listen to this verse 38. Paul goes on, he says, "For I am persuaded. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature." You know, I was looking at that list, trying to figure out what he left out. He says, "For I am persuaded." I'm persuaded. Paul was completely convinced, dear ones, of God's ability to keep those who are His. Do you belong to Him? He's able to keep you. He is able to keep you regardless of what may come your way. Regardless of the adversity. Regardless of the trial. Paul's confidence was in the love of God. Nothing could happen that could sway or change or alter his confidence in the love of Christ. Again, what can you think of that he leaves out here? What do you leave out? Neither death or life, no angel nor devil, No earthly or spiritual force, nothing now or ever in the future, no matter if it be from above or below, nothing nor anyone can shatter that confidence because of Jesus, because of His love. Why does Paul write these words? Why does Paul write these words? He writes them, beloved, number one, for those Roman believers. God has a way of preparing people for what's ahead. The Roman believers would endure some great persecution. Paul himself would be eventually put to death. Where? In Rome. Paul's writing these words for the Roman believer, but he's also writing them that every believer in every age, every believer in every age that walks the circle of this earth can have that very same confidence. My heart's desire is that we would have that confidence. As we see our great security. Our great security in the love of Christ. And so many, it's got a lot of cliches and so forth, but let's just sum it up this way. We are, beloved, eternally secure in Christ. Your salvation is eternally secure in Christ. Paul begins and he ends this passage with the same great truth. What's he say? Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Verse 39, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? He wants us to know that there's nothing that can separate you from God's love. This word, separate, carries an important message for us. The word means to divide, to part, to put asunder. And listen to this. This is very important. It even deals with the idea of separating yourself from something. This very word means that. Stick with me on that. So then we ask the question concerning the duration of this life, this eternal life that is sealed by the love of God. The duration. Well, Jesus died to give us eternal life. Period. Jesus died to give you, as you put your faith and your trust in Him to save you from your sin, eternal life. Well, what is eternal life? Well, preacher, that's a silly question. It's eternal. It's eternal, preacher. Well, yes, indeed. Well, is this all the Bible says about eternal security of our salvation? Well, I'm glad you asked that. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 10. The Gospel of John chapter 10. They're looking at something the Lord Jesus Christ tells us about this. Very important. John chapter 10, in reading in verses 28 and 29, Jesus says, and I give unto them, what kind of life? Eternal life. And they shall someday perish. They shall possibly perish. They shall eventually perish. No, it doesn't say that, does it? They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them, take them, remove them. The idea of that word pluck means to snatch away. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty secure to me. I mean, Fort Knox doesn't have anything there. I mean, Fort Knox is like a walk-through, a drive-through compared to this. Secure. Hey, we're talking about the power of God to keep you, to secure you. The plain teaching of these verses is beautiful. Absolutely. Plain teaching is beautiful, clear, and obvious. Jesus gives us eternal life. Now listen. And those He gives eternal life to will never perish. Never perish. Never perish. Plus, it's even gooder and gooder, as the old fellow said. Those He gives eternal life to are protected in such a way that no one has the ability or power to remove them from the safety of His hand. Now think of that. Whose hand are we in? Now again, according to the verse, we're in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, but not only in His hands, in the Father's hands. The first and second person of the Godhead is promising you your security in Christ. Wow. Wow. To make sure we understand how secure we are, He goes on to add that His Father indeed, His Father and our Almighty God, Creator and Sustainer of the universe, promises to keep us. We're secure in Him. We are secure in Him. Very important verse. Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the one who died to give us eternal life, makes this declaration. Makes this declaration. Now, I like to study the Bible. I like to study the words of the Bible even before. You know, as I'm examining a passage of Scripture, preparing to teach or to preach, I like to look at the words. I want to understand the words themselves before I stand up to teach others. I think it's my responsibility to do that, to try to. You don't have to do that to understand the Bible. It's not absolutely necessary for you to understand the Bible, to examine every word. God given us the Holy Spirit that we can indeed understand the Bible. But as we do, dig a little deeper into those words, there are treasure troves, oh my, that are rich indeed. Jesus says, "And I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish." Now I was looking at those words, down through the verse, each one of them. I came to that word, never. And I was shocked. Many of you probably already knew this, but that just tells you how dumb I am. I come to that word, and that one word, never, in our English Bible, what does it mean? It means never. It means never. Pretty simple. But for that one word, never, in our English Bible, there's a combination of words in the Greek text that one word never is translated from. So whenever I see that, I thought, wow, that's curious. I need to understand this a little bit more. What's this all about? So I'm looking at it. Let me just say this. I'll read it again. Again, we're not rewriting our King James Bible. But those combination of words for that single word never mean this. Jesus says, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall no, never, ever, for all the ages perish." Yes, indeed. There is in that verse what they call a double negative. And when you have a double negative, it puts the emphasis on that negative. It's like, no, not ever. But on top of that, Paul slips this word in there that is translated in our New Testament for the ages. For the ages, the aeons. And so we come to the conclusion here that Paul was declaring, or Jesus is declaring, that there's nothing that can ever, ever in any way separate you from my love. There's nothing. No, nothing that will ever cause you to perish. Huh? What are we talking about? We're talking about the love of God. We're talking about the love of God. For God what? So loved the world that whosoever believeth in Him, it's those next words, shall not perish, but have what kind of life? Everlasting life. Jesus didn't die to just give you a good life on this earth planet. That's not so much, is it? He died to give you everlasting life. That indeed, He died to forgive you, to cleanse you of sin, to give you eternal, everlasting life. That wrath and the judgment of God on sin has been removed. It's gone. That's why you'll never perish. Huh? Let me ask you. You say, I don't know about all that, preacher. I've heard other folks teach that you can lose your salvation. Let me ask you, how did you get saved? What did you do to get yourself saved? Brother Bob's over here shaking his head no. He's got the right answer. What did I do? What did you do to get saved? Nothing. By grace, right? My two favorite verses in all the Bible. By grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Huh? The gift of God. Not of works. Not of something you or I could do to gain that salvation. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So again, what did you do to get yourself saved? Nothing. You placed your faith, your trust in what Jesus Christ did for you. Amen. Jesus said what? Whosoever believeth in me, whosoever will place their faith, their trust in me, shall not perish. Shall not perish. What's that mean? It means you won't perish. Never ever along the way will you be cut off, separated from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Just as you could not do anything to get yourself saved, there's not anything you can do to get yourself separated. You say, well, what about sin, preacher? Well, we still sin, don't we? We still sin. But how much of my sin was future when Jesus died? All of it. All of it. Huh? He was the Lamb slain before the very foundations of the world. Huh? It's hard for my puny brain to get wrapped around that concept, that idea. But as God was speaking the universe into existence, Jesus was already on that cross in His heart. He was the Lamb slain before God spoke a single rock into existence. Before Adam denied Him, Jesus was already God's plan. Huh? Oh my. Oh my. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for your mercy, your merciful love. This great salvation, that God has given to us is not something we earned or worked for to receive. Nor is it something that we can lose by what we work for or earn. Beloved, the day I die, I'll be no more deserving of my salvation than the day I believed in Christ. Get a hold of that. Get a hold of that. Now, indeed, we pray that we'll grow and we'll live more for Christ all along the way. But, beloved, we're sinners. We're fallen. And we're never, ever, we are never going to be deserving of His salvation. That's why it's so great. That's why it's so wonderful. That because God loved us, He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Because of Jesus, because of God's love, we can never be separated from Him. So the question, do you possess that security? Where are you at in this thing? Do you possess that security in Christ? Do you know that you have eternal life? Do you know you're saved? The eternity of those who have been saved and secured by the love of God will endure. Now listen to this tremendous thought. Those that are saved, those that have that security in the love of God, will endure beyond this creation. Sometimes we kind of have a struggle trying to put time together. Listen to these words. Then 2 Peter chapter 3, if you want to turn to it. 2 Peter chapter 3. You will endure beyond this creation. Second Peter chapter 3, and reading there, breaking into that passage in verse 10, it says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." We realize that. The last day is coming, that day when the trump will sound is coming. "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens," listen to this, "the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved." This creation is going to pass away. The heavens and the earth, as we understand them, as we see them, are going to dissolve, beloved. They'll come to an end. "Knowing this, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" Of course, exhorting us to live right, to live God-honoring lives. Going on, it says, "Looking for and hasting unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, the elements shall melt with fervent heat." What's the next word? "Nevertheless." Even though all of this takes place, nevertheless, we, Peter says, we, who's the we? Every one of you in this room that know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. Every one of you that have been sealed by His love, kept by His love. He says, "Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." How secure are you in the love of God? That when this creation, the heavens and the earth as we know them now, are gone, we have the promise. Is God good for His promise, by the way?
Amen.
Is He good for His word? Yes. We have the promise that we'll be there as the new heavens and the new earth are ushered in. Is that amazing? Wow. We can never be separated from the love of God in Christ. Let's stand together, beloved. Father, bow before you this morning, and I am overwhelmed by your mercy, overwhelmed by the message of your love. Lord, I'm so humbled. Lord, no one knows my heart like I do and like you do. You know, Father, how unworthy, how undeserving, how depraved and wicked my heart is. And yet you loved us. You manifested that love to us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Lord, I just pray that our hearts would overflow with that love today. But Lord, as best we can, oh my, as frail humans, creatures, battling the flesh, this world, and the devil, Father, as best we can, we'd return that love to you, loving you who first loved us. Father, I surely pray. I don't know hearts and lives in this room, but I pray if there's a dear husband, a dear wife, man or woman, a young person, oh Father, please, please, would you deliver that message of your love to their hearts today. Please, Lord, if there's anyone here yet without Christ, do not have that confidence, that assurance of your love, that this day, this very moment, you convince them that you love them and that you gave your Son to be the payment for their sin. And that by faith, they can receive that gift of your love, your forgiveness, eternal life. Please, Lord, go beyond. Do what no preacher can do. And deliver that message to hearts today. Lord, I pray for every believer in this room. Please start right behind this desk, Lord. Enlarge, Lord, I don't know, somehow, some way, enlarge our ability to love you. Lord, that we love you unfailingly, faithfully, truly, sincerely. Lord, we love you because you first loved us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Brother John, you have a song for us.
Page 118.
So we sing, beloved, please, please just do what God would have you to do. You don't need a preacher to beg you to do right. There's something on your heart today. Please, just obey the Lord.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me, now, my Savior, I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour. Stay Thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when Thou art nigh. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour, most Holy One. Oh, make me Thine indeed, Thou blessed Son. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like Thine can peace afford. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee.
As I studied this week in that passage of Scripture, it's, wow, what a passage of Scripture. It's one of those places in the Bible that you never feel that you really do it service, no matter what you do. And I pray, oh God, please, would you be pleased, Lord, to break up fallow ground, ground that's hardened, ground that's become cold and can't receive. Break that up, Father, for me, for our church, for families, even for our community. In this world today, there'd be those that are, God had prepared to receive His Word. What a God.
Amen.
What a God. I'm not speaking about you, but what a God that would love me. What a God. So thankful for His mercy to us indeed. Well, I don't want to alarm you, but we've had a masked man in the service today. Brother Bruce Martin slipped in the back there, and he's I don't know if he's trying to protect himself or protect us, but I'm thankful he braved the service in spite of not feeling good. And I know there's many can't even name them all that I've heard that are battling this respiratory cold and flu. Please pray for each other. Hold each other up in prayer in these days. And we'll look forward. Brother Tom Gaudet will be speaking tonight and sharing. He hasn't had opportunity to share what God did during those 6 weeks that he was in Thailand this last trip. He and the, the Evanses, and he'll be sharing about that this evening. So please pray for him as he comes tonight. It's been good. It's good to belong to Jesus. John.
One quick announcement. The choir practice tonight is at 5:30. I'll get a reprieve. 5:30. Blessed assurance, this is my story.
This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
You're dismissed.